Welcome to this week's episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. I am your host, Trent. I don't really have a bunch of shit to come after my name this week because I'm a little tired. So forgive my lack of energy in bits and pieces, because some parts are still going to be quite energetic, because, you know when you get really into a topic or you get really into a particular area of a subject, and you just start, all of a sudden you find this energy to just go bop, 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 bop. Well, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. It's going to be spurts. Welcome to this week's episode. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're feeling good. Before I get started with this week's episode, I wanted to talk about two completely unrelated pieces of randomness. Mainly, if you want to blame somebody for these two pieces of randomness, it would be JadenXD. I've been catching up on their podcast, and when I say catching up, I'm talking about I literally went back to, I think, when I started listening. The episodes on Apple Podcasts went all the way back to 2015, where they were two guys and a girl, and then it went to JadenXD, and now I'm in what I want to say 2017 January. So yeah, I'm all the way back then. I intend on listening to all their episodes until I get caught up, which apparently is going to take me a while, but. Yeah, blame them niggas, because the most recent episode I listened to kind of inspired these two pieces of randomness that have nothing to do with my topic for this week. So enjoy this randomness. Here we go. Randomness number one, Lisa Nicole Carson. Can we talk about her for a quick second? We're going to talk about her for a quick second. If you don't know who Lisa Nicole Carson is, go ahead and Google her real quick. The best way I can describe who she is, and this might be kind of rude, but it's literally the role they had her play in just about every movie and show she was in, was the black big titty hussy. Like, I promise you, I'm not just saying errant bullshit. Think about all, if you know the stuff she was in. Let's see, she was in Jason's Lyric. She was in Ally McBeal. She was in Eve's Bayou, I believe. I want to say, so they said she was in the New Edition movie, but it was so long ago since I've seen it, I don't actually remember, but she probably was in that. But other than the New Edition movie, all the other roles, yeah, they had her playing the black big titty hussy. Like, that's literally what they had her doing. And she needs to be in more shit. I feel like she should have been in a lot more shit than she has been over the years, but yeah, my opinion don't really mean shit, so that's just me talking randomly. Thing number two, and this is XD's fault, and this is old as shit, but it's still very, very relevant. Lawrence fucked the shit out of Tasha. Can we go back to that? Because I feel like, I don't care if I'm 80 years old, that shit's still going to be relevant. Like, that's still going to be something that can be brought up in any conversation, anytime, any place, and it's relevant. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Insecure, the last episode of Insecure season one. If you've never seen Insecure, I mean, you can skim through the first couple of episodes and then just watch the whole last episode, and that'll give you what you need. Because here's the thing, short version, Tasha was pretty much throwing that ass at Lawrence the entire season, first season. Lawrence was in a relationship with Issa, and from the first time we're introduced to her on episode one, she is, I would say, throwing that ass at him, but really throwing them titties at that man at every possible point she could. Like, when they were in the food court, she had them things thangin'. And then when she went into Best Buy where he was working, she had them things thangin'. And not only that, she went to Best Buy for batteries. As somebody who used to frequent Best Buy when we weren't in a pandemic, I can tell you, batteries are at the front. Like, batteries are legit at the front of the store. Like, you do not need to go into the back of the store to get batteries. She was definitely trying to get some dick, but I'm pretty sure most of us watching the show at the time understood that. Like, we understood that loud and clear. She wasn't in there for no damn battery. She was in there for the dick. But yeah, then we fast forward to the end of the episode on the season finale. And Issa opened that closet door, and the only thing that was there, I think left there, was a Best Buy shirt. I think that was all that was left hanging. It was some piece of clothing, just one single piece of clothing left in the closet. And then without any warning, without any precursor, literally the very next scene is and moans and clapperature and hair pulls and doggy style and just raw, yeah, he fucked the shit out of Tasha. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, of TV shows, sex scenes, black TV shows, sex scenes period, but black TV shows, sex scenes period, that's number one. Number one is gonna take something real, real crucial to knock that down in the history of life. I'll probably be dead when that happens. Or if I'm not, I'm definitely going to watch it and probably do a new podcast. It'll be podcast number 2,478 kind of thing. Just know I'll talk about it then too when I'm an old, dirty ass man. Anyways, those are the two random things I wanted to talk about. Now we can get to the actual meat of the episode. Thank you for bearing with my ignorance. This week's episode is called Settling and Worthiness. As with a number of episodes, I have no idea if I've talked about either one of these in some form or fashion in the past 42 episodes. If I have, bear with me. If I haven't, enjoy this episode. So let's start off with settling. When I think of settling, I think back to a conversation I had with somebody I was dating quite some years ago. And she was telling me about her, we were talking about dating experiences, and she was telling me about this guy that she used to date, that he was a great guy in most aspects. Like, he wasn't like, you know, he was a respectable guy. He treated her well, and, you know, he had the things that she was looking for. But, I believe she said he was a manager at a retail store. I don't know if she specified or she didn't, I just can't remember, but. Basically, homeboy was a manager at a retail store, and that was his life aspiration, but he had no aspirations beyond that. He had no other goals or dreams beyond that, that he was perfectly comfortable being a manager at a retail store, and that's it. No further. And she was like, one of the reasons she ended up not staying with him was because lack of ambition, that she felt like if she stayed with him, whether even though he had these other great qualities, she felt like she would be settling. So then that takes us into this week's episode. Settling, what does that mean exactly? Basically, it's taking what you can get, even if it's not what you really want, at least it's something, right? Like, at least you got somebody. At least you can say, I got somebody. And even if on paper they look like, basically, it's somebody who on paper seems like the kind of person that anybody would be lucky to have, quote unquote, in most aspects. But in some way, shape, or form, it's some major thing that is missing. And, you know, you're even though you know that thing is missing for you and that thing is important to you, you're like, well, all the other stuff is there, so I guess I'll just take this. And it's usually not something trivial. Like, it's not to say it couldn't be something trivial or what the general population would consider trivial, but it's usually not something of that nature. It's usually something very important to you. Like, and I'll probably talk about this later on in the episode as well, but it's, I guess, the best example I can think of off the top of my head is like having somebody, like having a basketball player who treats you really well and is making all this good money, but he can't keep his dick in his pants. And that's the thing. That is literally the only thing. Like, everything else is good, but he can't keep his dick in his pants. Let's just go with that example. That you staying with this person, even though you know they make you unhappy because they can't stay faithful, that is a form of settling. That is definitely considered a form of settling. So, yeah, that's that. So, in a way, it's almost like saying you are in some form or fashion giving up on happiness and joy in a romantic sense, in a romantic relationship, that you're saying, you know, I don't, if that's the only thing, that's the thing I have to deal with, fine, I'll deal with it because these other things are there and that's all that really matters. And I got a person, so great. As I just said, it comes in many forms. It could be, you know, great person, but they cheat. Or a great person, but they lie. Or pretty great person, but isn't financially stable. Or pretty great person, but life aspirations just aren't what you would want in somebody you see yourself with long term. It's not going to be the same thing for each person. Like what? And that's obvious because I say it's obvious because what's important to one person may not mean jack shit to the next, you know? So what's one person's settling might be somebody else's. That's everything. I got everything I need. I'm good. Like, that's the thing that's missing. Oh, okay. Pff, fuck that. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing. It's going to be different. Everybody has different priorities. Everybody has different things that matter in the long run. So settling is going to vary from person to person. And so the thing is, and what's going to lead to the second segment of this episode, which I will give you a reminder of once we are going to break, is that a lot of people, or at least from the instances that I've seen and heard about, that some people settle because they believe that they are not worthy of much, if anything at all. Let me repeat that for you again. Some people settle because they believe they're not worthy of much, if anything at all, that they believe they should take what the fuck they get, just because they believe in some form or fashion that they are a horrible person or they've done horrible things in life to the point that they don't deserve happiness. So they should just be happy that anybody's paying them attention, essentially. So before we move on to that, like I said, that's going to be the segue into the second part of the show. But before we get to that, I kind of want to touch on some other things adjacent to this. Dating is trash. One of my favorite people that I follow on Twitter, whose tweets I don't get to see enough anymore these days, I believe is Ray, R-A-E. I forgot the whole app thing, but yeah, Ray, she always has some dope-ass tweets and still does when I'm able to catch them, but one of my favorite ones of hers over the years that has become a goddamn thread is dating is trash. And even though I'm not actively in the field myself right now, it wasn't that long ago that I was in the field like that. And yeah, dating is trash. Like, dating is absolute trash. Why is it trash? That's a whole episode in and of itself. But short answer, you got inconsistent people. You got people who you'll have one good date with them, and then after the first date, it just all goes to shit. Or you never get to date two because you can't catch them on the phone, or you can't catch them at all. Or, you know, they're just inconsistent in that way or some other way. You have ghosting. You have the advent of ghosting that I'm pretty sure it was a thing long before I was born, but I think it definitely, with us having new technology, new ways of communication, as I always say, that adds more ways for us to be in touch with each other or avoid each other. And people ghost, like I said, ghost for many different reasons, but the fact is people do it. And yeah, that definitely makes dating that much more trash, that you can be thinking things are going well with somebody. You could be thinking everything is just going smooth and crisp, and then out of the clear blue sky, poof, they're gone. And mind you, ghosting happens in friendships too, but that's not what this episode's about. I'm talking about in the context of dating. And, you know, like I said, it gets raggedy. Like, it gets to a real raggedy point when you have people who just, like I said, it's one thing to stop seeing somebody when there's been some warning, when there's been some, hey, I don't think this is working out, or, you know, I'm not, you know, for whatever reason or another, it just isn't going to work out. And it's a clear cut, okay, this isn't going to work out, versus a, hey, everything's great, everything's fine, I'm having a great time, I'm enjoying spending time with you, I'm enjoying talking to you all the time, and then poof, gone. No trace, no way to find them, no way to, they're just, you don't hear from them at all, ever again. And yeah, that definitely adds to the dating is trash pile. People sucking at communications and emotions. I'm sure if you've listened to enough episodes of me, you're tired of hearing me say it, but the truth is the truth. No matter how many times I say it, it's still the truth and it's still accurate. So people sucking at communication and emotions makes dating trash, because like I said, when you have people who suck at these things, you get ghosting. You get people who don't know how to be an adult and be direct and say, hey, I'm not really feeling you as much as I thought I was, or I don't think I want to continue seeing you for whatever reason. And that we should just call it here. Just let's not continue this anymore. Or when you're upset about something, instead of actually telling the person you're upset and saying why you're upset, you know, people increase volumes, get really judgy tones, they insult the person in the process of saying why they're upset. And, you know, instead of having an actual conversation with them and letting them know, hey, this upset me, can we talk about, you know, if it's worth resolving, to see if you can, you know, get it resolved and do it in a calm and adult fashion. But a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people, you know, will yell, will scream, will holler, will do all kinds of crazy shit. Such as, I saw, there was a video on Twitter last night that I saw before I went to bed, of this woman pouring gasoline into this person's vehicle and threw a match in, almost blew herself the fuck up. But yeah, that part was kind of funny, low key, because you literally saw the explosion. Like, it blew her back to the car it was parked next to, and then she had to like hurry up and run off. But fact of the matter is, that's the way some people communicate. Like, instead of saying, hey, what you did really upset me, or I'm not very happy with you right now because of blah, 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 they blow up your car, they slash your tires, all kinds of wild shit. If you can think of an example, that's what I'm talking about. Bad understanding. Bad understanding also is at the root of dating being trash. That, you know, everybody goes through their own shit over the course of life, over the course of dating. Everybody goes through their own shit and has their own baggage and their own experiences to draw from. And, you know, that's how we grow our red flags and what we feel like, what triggers us when we're in that dating realm. And sometimes we assume somebody's going to do something before they even get the chance to do it. You just get rid of them without saying, hey, this kind of triggered me, you doing this, and so I would appreciate if you don't do that, or this is why I possibly acted a certain way. Like, none of that. It's usually just, oh, okay, you're gone. I believe you're about to do something that I know you're about to do. Even if you have no real evidence, or you've never told this person a day in their day in y'all's connection that this is a problem for you, that, yeah, you just get rid of them. So yeah, bad understanding. And last but not least, shaming and discomfort around sexuality and sexual orientation. That, you know, even to this day, with a more, even to this day, with different communities being more on the forefront now, that, you know, we have the LGBTQIAA plus community that is more, we're like, there's more stuff in the mainstream media and the more in the mainstream discussions. Even though that is the case, there's still within different communities a lot of shame, a lot of discomfort. And I mean, I'm a black man. first of all. And then religion-wise, I've grown up most of my life as a Christian. Everybody and their mama know, for the majority of Christians, you know, if you've been to church even a little bit, you know, first thing Bible thumpers come to you with is God don't like gay. Not God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, or whatever other catchy, weird shit people say in church to denounce anything outside of heterosexual relationships. And you know, it's a stereotypical thing, but it's the truth that in the Black community, that is still, it's not as frowned upon as it used to be, but ask your mama, ask your parents, ask your aunties and uncles, ask your grandparents, and ask them their opinion on lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual. Ask them about any of those communities and ask them their opinions on those and see what kind of answers you get. Some people's parents are open-minded and they're like, hey, they're people. They just people like everybody else trying to get love from who they want to get love from. But you're going to get a lot of people saying a lot of derogatory, fucked up shit. You're going to get a lot of derogatory, fucked up answers. I'm just warning you off top. Especially the older the generation you get into. Like, you get into who would be considered my grandparents' generation or great-grandparents even. That was extremely frowned upon. Like, you would get disowned instantly. It wouldn't even be a question. It'd be a, you're out. You're out, buddy. You're not even part of this family. I don't know you. Walk away. I don't even know who the fuck you are. And it's probably still quite a bit like that now. I wouldn't know personally, but I'm sure many a person within those communities have had to stay in the closet with their families because they ain't trying to get disowned and they're not trying to lose their family over something, over their sexual orientation. They are not trying to do it. And who would blame them? Who would blame them for wanting to remain close to people that they love because they feel like they're going to be disowned and unloved for who it is they romantically and sexually love? Like, who wants to put that on the table? Because I don't know about y'all. I mean, I know some people don't like their families. So, and, you know, family can be difficult. I understand that. But somebody like me, I love my family. I get along with my family for the most part. They get on my nerves sometimes. But overall, I love the fuck out of them. And I look forward to holidays and spending time with them. So to tell me that something I can do or some way that I choose to live would make them not love me anymore, that's heavy. That is heavy as fuck. To tell me that if they find out about this aspect of my life, this intersection of my life, that they will disown me, like, that's painful. That's pain right there. That's real pain right there. So, you know, you got this part of the whole people settling and people not feeling worthy. And then you have society's part in it, society and culture and family. That mega emphasis on finding your one true love, and that marriage is like the most, it's just so important, it's so sacred, and it's so amazing, and it's the best thing ever in life, and everybody needs to have it, and that everybody needs to have kids. Like, society, many cultures, many religions put a huge emphasis on the family structure. That it's a huge emphasis on, in order to live a successful life, to live a life that is quote unquote worth living, that you have to get married, you have to have kids. If you don't do those two things, especially if you're starting to get up there in age, that something's wrong with you. Like, if you don't believe me, if you are over the age of 25, the further up you get past 25 and you're not in a relationship, you're not married, you don't have any kids, your family, if you even get along, honestly, I think this doesn't matter if you get along with your family or not, you are going to be bugged about kids by your parents, by aunties and uncles, by your cousins, by somebody. Somebody's going to address you and ask you when you will get married, when you're going to bring somebody home, when, Lord, if I got that question one more time, I swear to God, I was going to be like, And not, mind you, I've just now started to get into having a gun license, having a gun and being a licensed, having my license to carry. And I wouldn't actually do this in real life, so don't judge me. But I'm just saying, these niggas asked me about when I'm going to bring somebody home one more time. I was going to pull out the gun and be like, ask me again. Ask me a motherfucking again when I'm bringing somebody home. Ask me that shit again. Because it's just, it's so crazy how big an emphasis that families do that to you or will do that to the next generation in your life. When you're going to start popping out some grandkids, when you're going to start popping out some kids, when you're going to start having, when you're going to start being getting in a relationship, getting serious, settling down, and da da da. And it's like, it's valued more importantly than so many other things that matter in life. And, you know, it gets to a real raggedy point that if, and I know whatever amount that I've gotten in as a man, women get it a million times worse because they're hounding you so quick about when you're going to pop out kids, when you're going to pop out, when you're going to have a husband, when you're going to get settled down with somebody, and to the point that they make it so that these things are more important or better achievements than some of the career things somebody, a woman might do. That a woman may do some amazing fucking things in the world and in her life and get some amazing accomplishment done in her career field and will still be considered lower tier, quote unquote, because she's not married, because she's single, because she doesn't have any kids, that those other accomplishments don't matter, which they totally do, but let your family, let religion, let certain cultures tell you, yo, you ain't done shit because you don't have kids and you don't have a husband and you don't have a family that you're taking care of. Like, it's wild. It's quite wild, but it's a notion that's been around for decades, so many decades, centuries even. So it's interesting. It's very interesting to see that this idea of family is just so ingrained that it's the holy grail of success, that if you don't have these things, you're a failure, that you're broken, that something's wrong with you. That honestly, like, even if you get online, they'll tell you, like, if you say that, if you pull out somebody and say, okay, you got a 35-year-old man or woman, single, no kids, never been married, somebody, if you get a room full of people and you give that information, somebody in the room is going to ask, what's wrong with this person? That the assumption, somebody in that room's assumption, at least one person in that room of like 100 people, at least one person is going to say, what's wrong with them? And because the notion is that if they've gotten this far in life and haven't had any kids and or gotten married or isn't in a long-term relationship right now, that something big must be wrong with them. They must be fucked up in some way. That's why they don't have any kids and they've never been married and they're not in a relationship now, because they're a screw up. They're a fuck up. Something is wrong with them. Something is big wrong with them. And it's not the case. It's definitely not the case. But that's just how society has shaped things and how different cultures and religions have shaped things. That family is just, I do believe family is important, but I also believe in people's agency and desire to have the kind of life they want. That if somebody has a life that doesn't revolve around having a family or creating a new family or, you know, being in a long-term relationship or having kids and or having kids, that's their business. If their life aspirations have nothing to do with having a single child brought into this world, there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We have so many people bringing kids and bringing new babies into this world who don't even really want to bring new babies into the world. Who these kids are at, I hate to say it, it's going to sound real fucked up of me, but so many kids are brought into the world as accident. Yeah, so a lot of kids are brought into the world as an accident or a quote-unquote accident, because let's face it, if you're fucking people raw, how much of an accident is it? It ain't that much of an accident if you're fucking people raw, because if you fuck raw, it only takes once to get pregnant. So how much of an accident are we talking about? When I'm saying accident in this context, I'm saying accident in the sense of It wasn't planned. Either it wasn't planned and or the person did not have any aspirations of having a kid, but boom, here this kid is. So you have so many of that situation that, you know, if somebody knows for a matter of fact that they do not want any children, that they don't want to take care of no children, they don't want to pay for no children, and they're certain in that, leave them be. Live and let live. If they are happy with that and they're happy with the things that they're doing, let them be happy. Let folks be happy. Let people enjoy shit. You know what I mean? And then last but not least, divorce. We got to talk, if we're going to talk about marriage and kids and all that, you got to talk about divorce. You got to talk about the fact that over the decades and centuries and shit and the years, that divorce has often been seen as another mega failure. That if in many cultures and religions and families, if you get divorced from somebody, oh, yeah, you done big time screwed up. Like, oh, yeah, you don't need to be with nobody because you're divorced. And then, like I said, whatever it is for men, for women, it goes even double, triple, quadruple, because that's the way our fucked up society is, that women get the bigger brunt of the fucked upness than men do in most cases, in most areas. But yeah, like there's this big cloud of divorce, that divorcing somebody is a failure on your part. Even if, let's say you have a situation where, and you know, I hate to use cheating all the time, but it's the quickest example that everybody can relate to quickest. So, and it's the situation you see most in the media. It's the situation you've probably seen within your friends and within your families. So it's the quickest example to go to, so you know where I'm coming from. So imagine you get a couple who's together and somebody cheats and there's a divorce happening. Even if, and like I said, women get the brunt of the fucked upness in those situations. Even if it was the man that cheated on her, like her husband cheated on her, she's going to catch the brunt of it, that it's going to be some failure on her part, even if really and truly it's completely his fault, or 90% his fault, that whatever percentage she had to do with them being divorced is so insignificant compared to whatever it is that he did, be it cheating, being it gambling all the money away, or whatever that man did. She's going to catch the brunt of it, that, oh, y'all got a divorce, it's your fault, you don't deserve love. And then because of that going down like that and people treating people like that, people get that notion in their head that they don't deserve love, that they fucked it up the first time, why do they deserve better? Or that if they're in an abusive situation, they get a divorce, that they think, hey, maybe I did something to deserve to get beat on. Like, maybe I really did deserve to get my ass beat every day, every night, because I wasn't a good enough wife. I wasn't a good enough husband. I didn't do everything I could have possibly done, when in truth, you did everything you could have done and then some. And this person was just an abusive piece of shit. And yeah, that's right. People abusing people, whether it be a man or a woman abusing a woman, or a man abusing a man, I'm not here for that shit, for anybody abusing anybody. You keep your hands to your motherfucking self, unless it's consensual. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you putting your hands on somebody out of anger, out of aggression, and abusing them. I'm not here for that shit at all. So do not, like, just don't do it. But the thing is, people will be in those kind of situations and come out of them, and even though they're the victim, even though they're the ones that got beat down or verbally abused or emotionally abused day in, day out, somehow they feel like it's their fault, that they don't deserve to be loved because they're a fuck up in some form or fashion, and that they deserve to be treated like shit. And you'd be surprised how many people feel this way. I definitely am surprised every day when I find out there are people who feel this way and live their lives accordingly. Like, they accept anything. They accept anything that's brought to their table. And that kind of swings back to exactly what I said was going to take us to the next segment, was that some people settle when it comes to dating and relationships because they believe that they are not worthy of much of anything they desire. If they're deserving of love and happiness, or somebody to treat them well and care for them at all. Like, some people really feel that way. And when we come back, we're going to talk about worthiness. That's what we're going to go on for the next segment. You are listening to Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggs. We're back to Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggs, this week's episode, Settling and Worthiness. In the previous segment, we talked about settling and what that looks like and what leads to it and just the kind of different situations and environments around somebody settling. And last we left off with was that a lot of people, or quite a few people, settle because they believe they're not worthy of love or happiness or being cared for, or that they were not worthy of much of anything worthwhile, if anything at all. And when we talk about worthiness, it's this idea that you have to be, quote unquote, in quotes, worthy to, in order to deserve good love, deserve for someone to care for you fully, or to be with somebody who checks the bare minimum boxes for you. And, you know, it's a wild ass idea that there are people who believe that they are not worthy of love, or they believe that certain people aren't worthy of love. And I understand there's a lot of different raggedy ass people out here. Don't get me wrong. There are some people who, in a general sense, are horrible human beings. For all intents and purposes, these people are horrible human beings. But regardless of how horrible human beings these people may be, the fact of the matter is, a lot of these people who are shitty people are shitty because nobody's ever loved them. Because I gotta tell you, having people who love you, who care about you, who are on your side, who are a part of your village, who really take good care of you and call you out on your shit and uplift you and encourage you and shit, having that shit makes a big world of difference in all aspects of life. Like having encouragement, not being judged all the goddamn time, people who allow you to be you and give you make space for you to be you and allow you to be comfortable and relaxed and not having to be on guard and anxious 24/7, and the people who genuinely love on you and care for you and really try to make things work with you and really try to communicate with you well. You know, everybody could use, the world could use a lot more of that. Everybody in the world could use a lot more of that, because I feel like a lot of the shitty people that we think are just the shittiest of shit, they may not have had enough of it. Or if they had some, it wasn't high quality. If they got any at all, they may have been treated like absolute shit over the years. And so then they just believe, hey, I don't deserve to. I'm not one of those people that's supposed to have love. I'm not one of those people that's supposed to be cared about, because I ain't shit. Even if it has nothing to do with them, even if they are completely wonderful people, that's what other people who have abused them and treated them terribly have told them. That's how people they've been with have treated them, as if they are trash, even if they're actually the exact opposite of trash. Or using that idea of them being trash, even if they're not, just to get them to pretty much eat out of the palm of their hand and do whatever the fuck they want them to do while they are able to do whatever they want and treat them like trash. So, you know, When we talk about this idea of worthiness, we're talking about the main thing, if you want to take anything from what I'm talking about, is there are these two polar opposite ends of this idea of worthiness. So let's talk about one end. On one end, you have people who have this, you have certain people who are just, wow. Wild is the word I would use for them. The audacity that they have. These are people who have like this mega laundry list of things that a potential mate has to be, like all of them, not just some of them, not just a good majority. No, they got to be all of these things and even more. And if a single thing is missing, that, oh, this person isn't worth my time, I shouldn't even waste my time. And when I say laundry list, when I started thinking about this episode and thinking about this particular idea of worthiness and people who have these really grandiose ideas of what they deserve, what, or the kind of person that they're supposed to be with, based on who they see themselves as, the first person that came to mind was Chili from TLC. And if you remember, if y'all remember, or if you don't, I'm gonna tell you now, Chili from TLC, she had a TV show. She had a dating TV show called What Chili Wants. And the main premise behind this show, when she was shopping around, not even shopping around, but advertising for it, promoting for it, was this list, this mecca list of all the shit that she wants in a potential man. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have lists. And whether we admit it or not, whether they're actually physical or not, whether it's a list just in our head and generals in a general sense, or if you literally have that shit typed out somewhere, saved somewhere, or you have it written down somewhere. I actually, funny quick sidebar, I actually made a list like this some time ago. And it's I like having a physical. I liked it when, even though I didn't find it for a long time, and then I found it one day as I was cleaning out my apartment, and I was like, "Wow, this is kind of cool that I made this." And you know, just looking back at it, but we all have a list. We all have our preferences. We all have our things we would like in a potential mate. But we're not talking about somebody who has a general list of just like preferences and things they'd like, but it doesn't have to be all these things, but and like maybe a handful of must-haves and deal breakers and things like that. We're talking about the people who have these ridiculous lists that most, if not all, the checkboxes have to be marked, and there's a lot of these checkboxes. So I said Chili from TLC is a perfect example of this because I had to rewatch the beginning of the first episode of this show, and oh my god, like, I don't know about y'all, but before I watched this show, I used to think, man, Chili, fine as hell, whatever, whoop-de-whoop. After watching however much of this show I watched, because I remember I did watch a few episodes back in the day, but I don't remember seeing it through to the end, number one, and number two, I remember after watching that show, I was like, Chili ain't all that fine no more. This whole list situation, and then how she deviates from said list for the most terrible of reasons. Yeah, so before I get just too much lost in that rant, let's go over this, and mind you, I think this is only a chunk of the list. I don't even think this was her whole list at the time, but these are the ones that she kept saying over and over. This man must not drink, must not smoke, must love God, must be super fine. I think her relationship coach at the time, Tiana Smalls, I believe was her name, asked her, like, how fine are we talking here? I think she said, are we talking Denzel fine? She was like, not exactly. She was like, finer than Denzel? And she was like, yeah, definitely finer than Denzel. And she was like, also, doesn't eat pork, has a great sense of humor, sensitive, charming, washboard abs, has to love kids, but also no more than two baby mamas, and he must have a big-ass dick. Like, stupid big. Like, ridiculously big. She made sure to point that out very apparently. And it's like, it's crazy to me because I'm like, she was very insistent that she was like, you know, I've settled in the past and I wasn't happy, so now I have all these expectations and I expect the man to fill all of them if he wants to be my man. And it's like, you look at this list and You listen to her relationship coach, Tiana Smalls, at the very beginning was like, this list is bonkers. This shit is crazy. Like, from the very fucking beginning, she said that. For the piece of the episode I had to watch to get this list, even she said it from jump. Then the clip at the very beginning, before I even got to that, was her hanging out with Missy. And Missy was like, this your list? Girl, you must be, I guess you're going to date Jesus, huh? We need to get you Jesus, because that's the only person that's going to fit this thing. Like, here's my thing. I don't know Chili from a bum on the street, quite frankly, as far as personally speaking. I don't know Missy from a bum on the street, as far as personally speaking. But I know enough about Missy to feel like Missy got some damn sense. And if Missy's sitting up here telling you, you probably gonna just need to date Jesus because that's the only person that's gonna fill your requirements like that, that you asking a lot, you really wild at asking for all the shit that you're asking for, and that kind of goes back to that whole idea of, you know, being out there and feeling like, oh, what you are looking for isn't out there. No, that's a completely different idea that I would like to get to later. I feel like that actually comes in on the other end of the spectrum, but we're going to get to that in just a second here. But as far as people like Chili, these are the same people that not only expect this high level of quality and near about perfection, but they feel they don't have to bring anything to the table, or they feel like that them existing in just the plain state of existing, that's all they need to do. And they don't need to put in much effort or anything because somebody should be, I guess, grateful to be with them or grateful to be given the opportunity. So they should just fill all their boxes, but they ain't really got to do shit or be forgiven for mistakes, or you should be honored to labor for them. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things of that person has to get it right the first time. You know, it's like I call it the 3-ring circle of bullshit. That essentially these are the people who, when it comes to dating, it's like they show up to be part of an audience that you are here to perform for them, to jump through all the fiery hoops, to walk the tightrope and not bust your ass and not make any mistakes. And that all they're there to do is to be entertained, to be pleased, to be satisfied, and to be happy. Meanwhile, you need to be working your ass off, because that's just how important they are. That's just how great they are, that you should be putting in all this work, because they're just this most wonderful person ever, even if they're actually quite shitty. So yeah, that's one end of the spectrum of quote unquote worthiness. The other end, you have other people, those people who believe they aren't worth anything, that their worth and their value in the world of dating is a very, very low value, and that they should really just accept whatever the fuck they can get, that whatever scraps a person throws their way, whatever attention somebody throws their way, they should be happy that anybody's paying them attention and take that, even if the person is treating them like absolute shit. If the person is only bringing sex to the table and that's it, or they're only bringing money to the table, they're throwing money at trying to fix every situation, even though they treat you like shit and they know they treat you like shit, but they just try to mull it over. They just try to smooth it over by buying you expensive things and that should fix everything. That, you know, you have people who really just believe they aren't worth shit, or that they've made mistakes in their past, and that because of those mistakes, that they do not deserve love in any way, shape, or form. That these are people who have made mistakes in the past, big or small, and believe it's karmic retribution coming for them to be treated poorly in future relationships. That they should take this being treated shitty because they've done shitty things to people. And I'm like, nah, I don't agree with that shit. Because here's the thing, we're human. The biggest thing I can convey to us all right now, we are all human. We all make mistakes that, you know, we all fuck up in many different aspects of life. And sometimes it takes time to get it right. Sometimes we have to fuck up big before we get something right, before we learn how to do something right. I'm not saying you always have to, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you're not gonna. Sometimes a lesson isn't learned until you fuck up big, unfortunately. It doesn't always have to be the case, but sometimes it is. And you know, when we talk about those people who have made mistakes in the past, it's somebody who, it's like if you've ever played somebody to the left, if you've ever ghosted somebody in the dating phase, if you've ever done some shitty stuff to somebody while in that dating phase, if you've ever cheated on somebody, if you've ever been with somebody and then changed your mind and decided you didn't want to be with them anymore, and it was kind of out of left field, or it felt like it was out of left field, or it was for somebody else, or whatever the reason it might be, that you made this mistake and know, or you made this decision that wasn't one of your best decisions, and so now you deserve to be treated like shit for the rest of your life. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. We've all made our mistakes here, you know, but that doesn't mean that should disqualify you from love and being cared for, or asking for what you want and expecting people to fulfill that. And we're not, like I said, we're not talking about these big lofty expectations. We're talking about somebody, expecting somebody to care about you, expecting somebody to communicate with you on a regular basis, expecting somebody to, express that you care for them, that they care for you, and that they love you, and that they support you, and show that support, and not only just say it, but not only just do it, but both of them in combination, in concert with one another. And it made me think, when I was thinking about this episode and thinking about this part, it was kind of, this idea was kind of akin to, and this is one of the few times you're actually going to hear me allude to a religious kind of situation, but it's like, it's akin to people, quote unquote, deserving forgiveness for sin or deserving to get into heaven. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. You know what I'm saying? And when I say, you know, deserving forgiveness for sin or deserving to get into heaven, it's this idea that's in, for sure, Christianity, if not any other religion, that, you know, if it goes by, it's supposed to be like you're supposed to do all these things and you're supposed to be this really awesome, amazing, good, morally good person in order to get into heaven or in order to see heaven at the end of life or whatever, you know? And it's one of those things of like, it's the idea, I said this idea of people feeling like they're not worthy because they made one mistake. It's akin to this idea of within religion that if you do this particular sin, or if you sin in this way, or if you sin at all, that you're going to hell. That you making a mistake, you sinning, you doing this, that, or the other disqualifies you from getting into heaven. Or it disqualifies you for salvation of any kind. That there is no salvation for you because you lied. There's no, you're not getting to heaven because you did X, Y, and Z that was a bad thing. And if you think, if I put it in that context, and you just think about it for a second, even if you're not a religious person, just follow me. Follow me with this idea. Follow me with this analogy. Like, let's say, even if you don't believe in it, let's say there's this idea that, you know, you do something bad, anything bad, you're going to hell. You are disqualified from salvation. Do you understand that if that really is how it works, how none of us are getting into heaven, how none of us are getting salvation? Like, that's a guarantee. If you believe in that idea of salvation and heaven and all that, that nobody qualifies, because we all do fucked up shit. Yes, quote unquote, yes, in certain ways, there's varying levels and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, if you do believe in that, a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. It doesn't matter big or small, they're all sins. So if we go by that logic, nobody's getting in. Heaven gonna be this big old empty joint, because ain't nobody getting in if it means you have to never have made a mistake or never have made too many mistakes or anything of that nature, that you're disqualified, that you don't deserve salvation, you don't deserve redemption or anything like that. And fortunately, that isn't how that works. I'm not going to get into the whole how it does work, because this isn't a show about religion. This is a show about love, sex, and relationships. So back to the original point, worthiness. Just because you fuck up it or make some mistake of any kind in the dating phase, in the relationship phase, even if y'all get all the way to marriage and some fuck up happens, that doesn't mean you're not worthy of love. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you should be doomed for all eternity until the day you die to not be loved and cared for ever again. Like, that's not how that works. What would be the point of existing if we were intended to be perfect beings? That's not what we're put here for. Like, some of the biggest and best lessons you will learn in this life will come from your fuck-ups. That's just it. That's the truth. If you don't believe me, think about your life. Think about your life and think about some of the fucked up things that have happened and some of the fucked up things that you've done to people and in situations. Like, some of those situations are where some of your biggest lessons are going to come from. Some of your biggest lessons that can change your life forever will come from mistakes, will come from your fuck-ups. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just what I've been saying this whole time, that the sauce of life, what really, some of the biggest junctions in life are from making mistakes and getting messy. Word to Miss Frizzle. You know Miss Frizzle was getting some black dick, but we not going to talk about that. We just going to keep moving on. I'm just saying, Miss Frizzle, quote, said, making mistakes, getting messy. This is what life is about. This is how you learn shit. That's how you're going to learn shit. I'm not saying you need to absolutely make mistakes and do all this stuff. Like, if you don't, some mistakes you don't have to make firsthand to learn the lesson. Sometimes be wise and let other people who have already lived through these situations tell you what it is and why it is. You know, learn through somebody else. Some mistakes, if you can avoid them, if you can sidestep them, please do, because you don't want, I can imagine a life where you have to make every mistake firsthand to learn the lesson. That must be a hard motherfucking life, and I want no parts. Keep that shit. Nope. Don't want it. Absolutely return the stock. Send that shit back. I want all my refund credit. I don't care if it's store credit. I want that shit back. So yeah, just everybody deserves to be loved. Everybody deserves to be cared about, cared for, and uplifted and supported. Like, we all need that shit. I think if we all had much more love, much more support, a little bit more sex, and good sex, a little bit more good sex. Let me make sure that's clear, but we're not on that. If people had more of the love and care that they needed, I think we'd have a lot less shitty people in this world. We wouldn't have so many Trumpy ass, weird ass, Stacey Dash ass, terrible, awful people. I think if people got those things, if everybody got those things in the amounts that they needed them, we would have less terrible people making less terrible decisions and trying to hurt other people so that other people can feel how they feel inside. And it's trash, but it's the truth. So I think that's all I got for y'all this week. So I hope y'all enjoyed this episode about settling and worthiness. I hope if you didn't get anything else from this episode, I just need you to believe in yourself. Have confidence in yourself and believe that you deserve love, that it doesn't matter what you feel you've done that disqualifies you. We all need love to survive. That's the only way we're going to get through life successfully. You need love. You need to be loved. You need to show love. And you know that you are worthy. Know that you're worthy. Know that you're worthy of all the greatest things in life, and that you just be good to each other. Be good to other people, and that goodness will find itself back to you. If you enjoy this week's episode, you know, shoot me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen. If you listen on Spotify, just recommend it to somebody. Share it with somebody else. Repost it, retweet it on your timeline if you got Twitter. You know, just like it, share it with others, talk about it, and you know, got a few more episodes to go, and then I may be dipping out for the fall semester when school is back in for me so I can focus on my studies. But as y'all know, even if I leave for a little bit, I'm always going to be back. So hope y'all enjoyed this week's episode. I'll talk to y'all later. Have a good week, day, night, whatever. Get them cheeks clapped. Entanglement. Peace.